Moms teach. Moms teach us a lot. I found this week some things that moms teach us, so I ran it off. Moms teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. That's foresight. Moms teach us logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Moms teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Moms teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of this carpet. Moms teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Moms teach us about contradictions. Close your mouth and eat your dinner. Some of y'all are slow, didn't they? How about contortionism? Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Moms teach about perseverance. You will sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Moms teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. Moms teach us about the weather. Looks like a tornado came through your room. My favorite, moms teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Oh, moms teach. But they do more than teach. Let me read a very familiar passage this morning. Paul's words, second letter to his young friend Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. Paul writing to Timothy said, Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and now in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. For this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Holy Spirit gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, Paul said, of the testimony about God in your life. Now, I should have read, I guess, those first few verses of chapter 1. This is a very intimate letter that Paul writes to Timothy, his friend, his cohort, his fellow disciple. Paul begins in those words, Timothy, I write you this letter. Do you see it? Grace and peace to you, Timothy. I thank God for you, Timothy. Intimate words as he offers a prayer of thanksgiving, longing, he says, longing to see you, Timothy, remembering the tears that you shed and that I shed the last time we were together. I long to be with you again, that my joy in my life will be full when we are together. Intimate words of this elder statesman to his younger pastor friend, Timothy. But then he throws in those verses about family. I remember your mother. I remember your grandmother and the faith that they had. Mothers. A mother's, I struggled with the sermon title this week. A mother's teaching. That's why the pull-up that I couldn't decide. So on Thursday it said, a mother's dot, dot, dot. A mother's teaching. A mother's power. A mother's clout. A mother's force, a mother's impact, a mother's importance. As Timothy thought, or as Paul thought of Timothy, he could have said, I remember your mother's leadership, or mother's reputation. A mother's fame, a mother's guidance, a mother's prominence, all of those work. A mother's pull, a mother's spell, a mother's sway. A mother's significance. A mother's character, a mother's access, a mother's mark, a mother's imprint. So I finally turned it into the office and I said, here's the title, A Mother's Weight. Then I thought that might not preach. A Mother's Weight. One year I preached on Mother's Day about sin. That didn't go over very well either. How about a mother's influence? All those other words are good too. A mother's influence. Webster said, influence is the capacity to have an effect on character development, to have an effect on behavior of someone or something. The power or the capacity, directly or indirectly, of affecting another. That's it. A mother's influence. Today we do celebrate moms. The hardest job ever created in all the world. A mom, longest hours, least pay, little appreciation. Mom service financial managers, household executives, they're always on call. They're doctors, they're nurses, they're psychiatrists, they're politicians, mothers. Oh, the influence. I was at Walmart buying a random Mother's Day gift. You know, it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you still get to go buy the gift for them. So I was at Walmart. We're all good men shopping, but not spruce. I was at Walmart. And I got up to the line to check out. And the lady in front of me had surely a two-year-old, maybe a three. You know where this is going. They were at the checkout stand where all those last-minute things catch the eyes and often the hands of two-year-olds. And the two-year-old was being a two-year-old, screaming and yelling and hitting and screaming and crying. And of course, I looked for any of the other 35 aisles to move checkout, but of course, no one was at any other checkout stand. So I'm stuck right there behind this mother and her screaming, yelling. It's Mother's Day weekend, screaming, yelling, two-year-old in the one line that's open at Walmart. And all of a sudden, I heard her say, "It's okay, Katie. It's okay. We're almost done. We're almost done. Don't cry, Katie. Don't yell, Katie. Don't hit, Katie. We'll soon be home. Calm down, Katie. Calm down, Katie." And I felt for her so greatly, and I said, "Ma'am, it's okay. We've all been there where you are, and we're a parent. We get it. We get it." And I leaned over to the basket, and I said, "Katie, you be sweet for Mom." And she turned to me, the mom, and said, "She's Bonnie, I'm Katie." It wasn't just Katie. That just came out. There are many Katies. "Don't cry. Hang on. Don't panic. We'll soon be home." That had nothing to do with the sermon, but it was just too good to not throw away. A mom's influence. Listen, Paul, writing this letter to Timothy, out of the blue, says, "I am reminded, Timothy, of your faith, but that faith which first lived in your grandmother and then in your mother, I know, I am persuaded that that faith now lives in you." I want you to notice that Paul didn't say that Eunice, the mother, or Lois, the grandmother, gave Timothy his faith or even their faith. They didn't give their faith. Faith can't be given. Parents, if we could, we would impart, give, press down, and force our faith, the faith of God, of our fathers, onto our children. But we can't. Faith must be personal. It must be something that we as individuals long for and need. And Paul knew that. He said, "Timothy, I'm reminded of your faith, but it first dwelt in your mother, in your grandmother. It was influenced." He could have said, "Your faith, Timothy, influenced by your mother. Live the faith generation by generation." We don't have the details, I wish we did, of Timothy's mother or grandmother. We don't know exactly what they did, but folks, they did something right. We could have testimony here. We could get a witness. They did something right. It's believed that Timothy was a third generation follower of Christ. Some believe that maybe his grandmother was originally a Jew who made that transformation into a follower of Christ, and then her daughter also followed Christ, and now this third generation Timothy. What was it? What was this influence of faith? Was it Timothy's devotion, one-on-one personal devotion to Jesus Christ that Paul remembered and saw? Was it Timothy's commitment and devotion to prayer, to what he knew as the church, as he was a part of churches? Was it his commitment and devotion to Scripture? Timothy, I'm reminded of your faith, which dwelt in your mother and dwelt in your grandmother and influenced your life. Was it that mother and grandmother's grace of God that they experienced? Was it the forgiveness that Timothy saw that then he lived? Was it his missional ideas and thoughts that he saw in his mother? Was it her compassion that influenced him? The spiritual disciplines that she had in her life? Was it their worship? We don't know, but the influence of this mom and her mom impacted this son and his personal faith. It was a passionate, sincere, mega faith. A mom's influence will influence our faith as surely as it did Timothy's. But also notice a mom's influence our gifts. Paul said, I'm reminded of your faith. Then verse 6, for this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you. The Spirit of God doesn't make us timid, but it gives us power and love and self-discipline. I've preached before, and I'll preach it again. Every single believer in Christ has a spiritual gift. Every person at the moment that Christ becomes their Savior and they experience that salvation gift, you're gifted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within. And you're given at least one. Every believer in Christ has at least one gift. Some have more than one gift. And one gift is not greater than another gift. All the gifts are used of the Spirit and used for the benefit of building up the kingdom and then the church. Paul wrote so much to the church of Corinth as they were fighting about my gifts bigger, my gifts better, my gifts most important. Everyone has a gift, and every gift is important, and they're all used not to call attention to ourselves, but to build up the kingdom. Everyone has a gift. Maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your gift is giving and generosity. Some have the gift of preaching, and others have the gift of encouragement. Maybe it's the gift of leadership, or the gift of mercy, or the gift of service. Our ladies, one of our ladies' Sunday school classes is studying spiritual gifts right now. Gifts are given by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mothers don't give faith, and mothers can't give spiritual gifts, but the influence that mothers have on those spiritual gifts, they're huge. I think when Paul told Timothy, when Timothy read this letter, and Paul said, I'm reminded of your faith, of your mother and your grandmother. Don't you know Timothy thought of that mother and that grandmother and the faith that they had influenced in his life? And then when he went on to read the letter and he said, Paul wrote, I'm reminding you to flame that gift of God. I can't help but believe that Timothy didn't say, Mom's been fanning that gift all of her life. Mom's been fanning that gift, a beautiful picture, fanning the fire, keeping it alive, making it grow. Timothy had a mom and a grandmother who influenced that gift, encouraged him. Can't you see it? Encouraging young Timothy to use the gift that God had given him for the kingdom. Not to give up when surely he wanted to give up. He traveled with Paul. He heard from Paul. He heard about those crazy churches and what they were doing. And don't you know that Paul encouraged him, but that mother's word that encouraged him. You keep doing it. You keep trying. When the gift seems so far and our gift seems so difficult, to have that mother to fan that gift that God had given. Mothers can't, or mothers don't, thank God for grandmothers who do. I preached my first sermon in seventh grade. It was Youth Week. Some of you remember Youth Week. The particular emphasis in many Baptist churches back in those days that the youth lead out for a week. We taught adult Sunday school classes. We even did Wednesday night prayer meeting. On Sunday morning, the youth made the announcements and said the prayers, took up the offering, led the music, and the youth got to preach. And it was seventh grade, and I had seen others do that, and they said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I'll preach." Imagine. And I volunteered, and I preached. I studied for at least 30 minutes, and I preached on David and Goliath, that David was little and Goliath was big, and the slingshot, and David won. That was the sermon. That was about the length of it, 4 minutes long. And some of you said, "Lord, I wish you'd go back to those 4 minutes." And after I preached that sermon on David and Goliath on youth week, my grandmother came straight to the pulpit afterwards and said, "That's the best sermon I've ever heard in all of my life. In all my life of ministry of sitting in this church, there's never been a better sermon." And they should have had a longer invitation, because I know many folks' lives were changed, and I just wish our preacher would go ahead and retire so you could be our pastor. And I agree with her. My father just simply said, "Proud of you." And that was enough. But that night, I remember so clearly my mother coming to my room, and I knew she would say the same things my grandmother had said, surely. But instead, she said something like, "I prayed for you all week that God would speak to you. You might continue to study and listen to God and let God guide you as you use your gift." A mother's words. I know she wanted to say the best sermon I'd ever heard, but she was strained. May God use you as you use your, she fanned the flame of the gift of God, a mother's influence. I guess I've read more of Billy Graham's writings and quotes in the last few months than I have for many years. After his death several weeks ago, reading his latest book. And in that book, he talks about the influence of a mother. I won't read all the quote, but one sentence. Billy Graham wrote, "The influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know her children. They know and absorb her example, her attitudes, her life." The influence of a mother can't even be measured. Eunice and Lois made a difference in Timothy's life. Their influence was so great and so mighty, whatever it was, that Paul, when he thought of Timothy and his faith, couldn't help but think of his mom. Moms, how's your influence? Not only moms, dads, how's your influence upon your children? Our grandparents, it's your opportunity to still be that influence maker. And some of us say, "Well, I've already blown it. The kids are grown. The kids already, you haven't blown it. Start today. Make a difference today. Forgetting about tomorrow, you can't do a thing about it, but you can be an influence maker today and tomorrow and all the tomorrows left. Thank God for moms. A mother's a mother's influence, it can't be mentioned. Shall we pray? Father, may you continue to lead us as moms and dads, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as brothers and sisters, as a church community. Oh, God, continue to make our hearts soft and our minds sensitive to what you're leading and what you're doing. We want to be influence makers. We can't force our faith on our children. many times parents, we've tried, God. You don't force anything on us, but we can influence that faith. And we know that children and grandchildren around us have been so gifted for such a time as this, that you've called out among us teachers and encouragers. You've called out teachers and givers and servants. We see the gift. As parents, as a church, may we continue to fan that flame of that gift. God, it's right. It is right and proper today in the church that we acknowledge moms. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes the memories are overwhelming. But it's right. Thank you, God, for moms of influence. Continue, God, to lead and guide.